Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 28, Paranjana becomes a woman in the next life. Text 33. Vibhajya Tanayebhya Shama Rajarshir Malayadvajaha. Ari Radayishu Krishna Sa Jagama Kulachalam Vibhajya Tanaye Byakshmam Rajashir Malayajvajaha. Ari Radayashu Krishna Sajagama Kulachalam Vibhajya Tanaye Byakshmam Rajashir Malayad Vajaha. Ari Radayashu Krishna Sajagama Kulachalam Vibhajya Tanaye Byakshmam Rajashir Malayad Vajaha. Ari Radayashu Krishna Sajagama Kulachalam Krishna. Vaishnavis. Vibhajya Tanaye Byakshmam Rajashir Malayadvajaha. Radheshu Krishna Sajana Gosam Vibhajya Tanaye Byakshmam. Krishna, Vibhajya, having divided, Taniyemya, among his sons, Shamam, the whole world, Raja Rishi, the great saintly king, Malayadvajaha, name Malayadvaja, Ariradayishu, desiring to worship Krishna, Lord Krishna, Saha, he, Jagama, went, Kulachalam, unto Kulachala. Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Please repeat. After this, the great saintly king Malayadvaja divided his entire kingdom among his sons. Then, in order to worship Lord Krishna with full attention, he went to a solitary place known as Kulachala. Report. Malayadvaja, the great king, was certainly a Mahabhagavat, topmost devotee. By executing devotional service, he begot many sons and disciples for propagating the bhakti cult, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu. Actually, the entire world should be divided among such disciples. Everyone should be engaged in preaching the cult of Krishna consciousness. In other words, when disciples are grown up and are able to preach, the spiritual master should retire and sit down in a solitary place to write and execute nirjana bhajana. This means sitting silently in a solitary place and executing devotional service. This nirjana bhajana, which is the silent worship of the Supreme Lord, is not possible for a neophyte devotee. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur never advised a neophyte devotee to go to a solitary place to engage in devotional service. Indeed, he has written a song in this connection. Dushtamana tumi kishara vaishnava pratishtaratare nirjanaragare tava harinama kevala kaitava. My dear mind, what kind of devotee are you? Simply for cheap adoration, you sit in a solitary place and pretend to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. But this is all cheating. Thus, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur advocated that every devotee, under the guidance of an expert spiritual master, preach the bhakti cult, Krishna consciousness, all over the world. Only when one is mature can he sit in a solitary place and retire from preaching all over the world. Following this example, the devotees of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness now render service as preachers in various parts of the world. Now, they can allow the spiritual master to retire from active preaching work. In the last stage of the spiritual master's life, the devotees of the spiritual master should take preaching activities into their own hands. In this way, the spiritual master can sit down in a solitary place and render Nirjana Bhajana. Om Jnana Timurandasya, Kananjana Shalakaya, Chakshur Militam Yena, Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Ganadhar, Shri Vasudi Gaur Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So what year did this volume first come out? You know, fourth canto, 74. Yeah, I think 1974. So, yeah, there, and we can see in this purport, you know, Srila Prabhupada was writing to his disciples, you know, giving them some kind of clue about his desire. But it seems he was never able actually to do that, completely retire from preaching activities until the very last stage of his life. And even then he was still preaching, even though sitting in one place. One could say, yeah, as we were hearing, you know, during some of the descriptions of Srila Prabhupada's life over the weekend, that perhaps he was able to do his Nirjana Bhajana at night. You know, when his disciples were all asleep. So it seems he was able to do that, you know, do his solitary worship of Krishna during the nighttime hours when he would be mostly alone by himself, you know, with his dictaphone and books, translating, you know, the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Of course, the question for us, I mean, what this means for us. Some of us, you know, who are getting on in years might be thinking of the retirement activity that's described here. And others might be thinking of what's also described here, taking on, you know, the responsibilities for preaching the Krishna consciousness movement, you know, all over the world. And because we go through different stages of life. And Vedic civilization is, you know, designed to give us guidance what to do, you know, in the different phases of life. You know, the first part of life, the first quarter of life, where we should be involved in what's, you know, called student life, you know, training ourselves, educating, getting educated. Then, you know, during, you know, that's the, you know, the brahmachari ashrama, or the equivalent for ladies. And during the second phase of life, most people are involved in entering, you know, householder life and performing social responsibilities, work of different kinds, you know, that second phase of life. And, yeah, we see this. You know, during that phase of life, you know, people are concerned about making arrangements for their marriage, making arrangements for their household, you know, making arrangements for working. Of course, if one is also a devotee of the Lord, then, you know, they have to find some way to make some balance. You know, while making arrangements for entering householder life, while performing the duties of householder life, you know, while engaged in all kinds of social responsibilities, all kinds of work, still, you know, they have to be able to remember Krishna, serve Krishna somehow or other. And then, the final stages of life, retired life and renounced life, one can usually dedicate oneself more to preaching because many of the responsibilities, the social responsibilities, are finished. And then here it's mentioned that the preacher, towards the end of life, the usual thing is to enter into this nirjana bhajana. But, and we hear this, you know, in different parts of the Bhagavatam, but yeah, for those of us who are disciples of Srila Prabhupada, we're kind of confronted with this practical example of having engaged in active service right up to the very end of his life. So perhaps we have to follow his example and do our nirjana bhajana simultaneously with active preaching. I can tell myself, say now I'm 60, and still, you know, Krishna's giving me opportunities to preach, you know, in different countries, different parts of the world. And the way I look at it personally is, long as I'm able to do it, I think I should do it. engage in active preaching, traveling, things like that. Because, you know, at a certain point, you know, I won't be able to do it. So while I'm able to do it, I think I should. I mean, that's how I look at it. You know, trying to absorb, you know, these instructions, you know, which seem, you know, contradictory in a way. You know, that, you know, we're being told at the end of life, you know, one, you know, should enter into nirjana bhajana, but then the practical example that we have is that Srila Prabhupada didn't appear to have done that. But so the lesson, you know, I kind of draw from it is still that one should enter into a kind of nirjana bhajana, in the sense that following, you know, Srila Prabhupada's example, one should set aside time each day where one individually enters into some deep meditation on Krishna somehow or other. Of course, we have our japa time, which is a time for entering into deep personal meditation on Krishna through the chanting of his holy name. I mean, that's something that we can do. Many of us also have programs of reading and study. You know, each day, you know, I read a certain amount of Srila Prabhupada's books. And I find, you know, that's also, you know, a time, you know, for me to personally, you know, enter into, you know, my own personal meditation on Krishna, Krishna's devotees, as revealed in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, and other kinds of literature. So, So as I said, according to our personal position in devotional service, we can be reacting to what's in this purport in different ways. If we're younger, we can be thinking of how we should be taking up responsibilities in the preaching movement of Lord Chaitanya, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, in different parts of the world. Everyone should have their Prabhudatta Desh, some either geographical or occupational area of preaching in which they feel personally responsible. Like some disciples of Srila Prabhupada were told to preach in certain parts of the world, and they've done that. Some were given wider responsibilities of traveling all over the world. Some were given specific services, different areas of responsibility, management, book distribution, festivals, prasadam distribution. So everyone should feel that they have some Prabhudatta Desha, some either geographical area or occupational area of responsibility in preaching that they feel personally responsible for. And then as one gets older, then one has to deal with this other aspect that's mentioned here, this idea of retiring, from active preaching. And as I said, that's a little more complicated because the practical example that we have from Srila Prabhupada was that he didn't retire. Now then, in the purport here, we also see that Bhaktisiddhanta is mentioning the phenomenon of someone artificially or prematurely retiring from active devotional service and just sitting in one place and chanting. Actually, I remember in the early days of the Hare Krishna movement, there seemed to be quite a bit of that. Now you don't see it so much. I mean, at least I don't. Of devotees trying to draw attention to themselves by sitting in a solitary place and chanting Hare Krishna all the time. It seems like devotees who want to do something different, they just, they more or less just flaunt the rules and regulations of devotional service and say, well, I'm going to do this or that or the other. And but you rarely see anyone trying to call attention to themselves by maybe sitting here in the temple 24 hours a day, chanting their japa. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. but Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is warning against that. As I said, in the early days of the Krishna Conscious Movement, there was quite a bit of that. Devotees would try to become Babaji's at a very young age and just didn't want to engage in any practical service and just sit and chant. Sometimes Prabhupada encouraged that. He said, well, if they can actually do it, well, let them sit, chant. But very rarely could anybody actually do it. Because, the mind and body are very, active. And eventually, if one isn't engaged in some practical activity, then authorized practical activity, then one will find oneself engaging in some unauthorized practical activities. So But Bhaktisiddhanta did give this prayer, "My dear mind, what kind of devotee are you? Simply for cheap adoration, you sit in a solitary place and pretend to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. But this is all cheating." So there is this tendency to want to withdraw from practical activity and artificially situate oneself in this position of nirjana bhajana or something like that. Arjuna, on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, was manifesting some of that. Krishna wanted him to fight, but at first he didn't want to fight. He wanted to withdraw from activity, go to the forest, just be off by himself and not fighting for the kingdom. And Krishna told him, "Well, you're by nature you'll be forced to act, so best to act according to your nature, but under my direction." Mamanusmara yudhyacha was Krishna's instruction to Arjuna. Should remember me and fight at the same time. Of course, he said fight because that was what he wanted to accomplish at that time. Usually when Krishna appears in this world, he appears in a Kshatriya family. And he engages in fighting activity to establish religious principles. In this age, the age of Kali, he appeared in a Brahmin family and he wasn't involved in fighting to establish religious principles with the normal kinds of weapons. But we learned that Lord Chaitanya did have his weapons, his associates, his the holy name. So it is in the Kali Yuga another kind of fight that we're engaged in. And we see that up here, there's the famous incident where Lord Chaitanya became angry at Jagai and Madhai, who were attacking his devotees and was going to use his weapons to destroy them. But Lord Nityananda reminded him that this is the age of Kali, and if you start doing this, then you're going to have to kill almost everyone, because in this age of Kali, everyone has a demoniac kind of nature. So he reminded him that in this age, his purpose was not to physically kill the demons, but to kill the demoniac mentality, through the Sankirtan movement, which is our task. Of course, there's so many ways in which to do that. There was I was in Hawaii recently, and there's a big naval base there, Pearl Harbor, where they have ships. This is San Diego. It's also a big naval base. They have many ships there. But, the ships, like the aircraft carriers, they have a purpose. They have a military purpose. But in order for the ship to perform its purpose, there's so many different duties and responsibilities that the people on the ship have. Some are cooking, some are doctors, some are flying the plane, some are preparing the plane, some are navigating the ship, some are doing this, that, and the other, because there's so many things that need to be done in order for the ship to carry out its principal mission. So in our modern Sankirtan movement, it's also like that. There's The, you know, the primary activity is preaching directly, you know, to the conditioned souls in so many ways. But for that to go on, there's so many services that need to be done. So, as I said, each of us, you know, has been given, you know, an area of responsibility in terms of service and geography. And, you know, we should carry that out, carry out those responsibilities to the best of our ability. And it seems like that we really can't hope for any retirement from that. Unless in their wisdom, you know, the leadership of our movement decides to impose some kind of retirement. But, you know, we do have this example of Srila Prabhupada, you know, fighting to his last breath. So my personal plan is to remain active as long as the body allows it, and then it's sort of up to Krishna what's going to happen after that. Can I stop here? Does anybody have any comments or questions? Okay, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.